Most of us have been cooking a lot more than usual, which could give us more control over the amount of salt in our food. Americans have long been consuming, on average, more sodium than is recommended. Joining us now is Dr. Dariush Mozafarian, who's a cardiologist, professor of medicine at Tufts, and the dean of the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
All right, well, let's start with what people should do. What is the right amount of sodium that we should be consuming every day?
You know, this has been an area that 20 years ago, everyone thought was quite settled. And then some research started coming out, made this a little bit more controversial the last 5 or 10 years. And so Congress asked the National Academies of Medicine to review all of the evidence. And they did over a couple of years. And just last year came out with their recommendations, which were very clear that for optimal health, to especially reduce risk of heart attacks and stroke, all adults should be eating less than about 2,300 milligrams per day of sodium.
But we're probably all eating more than that.
Yeah, there's actually very few Americans that are at that level of about 2,300 milligrams. The average intake in the U.S. is probably more around 3,500 milligrams. And globally, we're kind of right about average. There are some countries that are actually around 2,200, 2,300 milligrams a day on average, where they should be. Mostly countries in Africa, but there are also countries that are much, much higher than we are. We're around 3,500. There's countries that are around 5,500, especially in Asia and China, where there's, you know, huge amounts of soy sauce.
Now, why is it that we're consuming so much salt in this country? I know that now that we have some of this nutritional information available, especially when you go out to eat, you can see that, you know, a burrito bowl at Chipotle is going to go way above probably even what you should have in an entire day, let alone one meal. But there are a lot of foods that we consume that you wouldn't even think have so much salt, but do.
You know, that's really one of the most surprising things, I think, to most people, is that the foods that we think of as salty don't actually have a lot of salt. Things like salted nuts or potato chips, you know, sure, they have some salt. But really what salt is used for in the U.S. food supply, it's for preservation. And so bread, there's enormous amounts of salt in most breads. For canned foods and some frozen foods, there's, you know, enormous amounts of salt. Restaurant foods, and also, if you actually take a food that's in a package and then you microwave it or heat it up weeks after it was cooked, it normally would have a very artificial and kind of harsh taste. And so salt hides that, you know, flavor. Mm-hmm. And so as just one example, you know, a serving of potato chips might have 80 or 100 milligrams of sodium on average. A single slice of bread, just one slice, kind of 300 milligrams of sodium. You know, bread shouldn't last for weeks in the grocery store and on your shelf without going bad, but it does. You know, much of that is the high sodium.
So what are the health effects of eating too much sodium?
Well, the most clearly established is effects on blood pressure. Sodium gets into our bloodstream and it expands the volume, the amount of fluid in your bloodstream, and it makes the kidneys work harder to pump it out, and it makes the heart work harder to pump that extra fluid. And so it raises blood pressure. And that increased blood pressure increases risk of stroke in the brain and heart attacks. And long-term, over many years, it's pretty clear from animal experiments and also some human studies that that long-term effect also causes scarring of the blood vessels, scarring of the heart, scarring of the kidneys, which leads to kidney failure and, you know, other problems like heart failure, even above and beyond the effect on the blood pressure.
Are there positives of having a lot of salt in your diet?
There really aren't any clear beneficial effects of having too much sodium. There are very traditional populations, indigenous populations living in jungles and other places who have 600, 700, 800 milligrams of sodium per day, you know, much, much less than the United States. And they are very healthy and live a long time. Obviously, they have lots of other ways their lives are different, so we can't say that they're healthy just because of that. But there's no noticeable adverse, you know, effects of eating very low amounts. But what's, you know, incredible is the human tongue has different taste receptors. The taste receptor for salt is very adaptable. And so within a few weeks, if you changed your, you know, salt intake and you increased it or decreased it dramatically, the tongue receptors adjust so the food tastes the same again. And so, you know, what I say is in these countries where people are on average consuming, you know, 2,300, 2,400 milligrams, much, much less than the United States, kids aren't telling their parents, hey, my food doesn't taste salty enough. And in these countries where people are consuming 5,000, 5,500 milligrams, way more than the United States. Nobody's complaining about salty food. You get used to it very quickly. And so that means if as a population, as a whole, we slowly reduce salt in this country over a few years, nobody would notice. All of our tongues would adapt and we'd be healthier.
That is what the individual can do. What about restaurants and the makers of packaged foods? Is there something that they ought to be doing on a grander scale to bring down the amount of salt that's used to preserve things?
Well, it has to be system-wide. If just one set of restaurants or just one set of companies does it by themselves, then Americans are used to a certain level of salt in their foods, and they'll think those foods don't have enough flavor, and those products will lose sales, they'll go out of business, and it won't work. And so the solution has to be everybody doing it together. Other countries, like, for example, Britain and Turkey, have done this. The government has gone and partnered with industry, and they've together come up with voluntary sodium targets where everybody together says, look, we're going to get to this goal by 10 years, and it levels the playing field. In the United States in 2016, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration proposed this and came out with 2-year and 10-year voluntary sodium targets. And much of the industry actually embraced this and said, yeah, we're happy with this. Let's do this together. But some parts of the industry didn't, and they pressured Congress, and Congress blocked the FDA from partnering with industry for even these voluntary targets. I think for listeners, you should be telling your elected officials in the federal government that it's time for the FDA to reinitiate this discussion.
And would it have, do you think, the same kind of impact on public health that reducing the amount of sugar that we're taking in would have?
Well, sugar and salt are the two major harmful additives. And of course, reducing those alone won't give us a purely healthy diet. We also need to increase the good. We need to eat more fruits and vegetables and nuts and fish and beans and other healthy foods. From our research and from research of others, there's actually more harm from too much salt than from too much sugar. So if you wanted to get bang for your buck, salt is an excellent place to start. And as I mentioned, reducing salts can be done without really changing taste. It's really more about changing how we preserve and package our foods long term. And New York actually has created a national sugar and salt reduction initiative, and they're trying to work with state governments and other big cities and some companies to try to get there. But this really has to be done, with the help of the federal government.
Dr. Mozafarian, do you think that while so much of the country is working from home, staying at home, this might actually be a good opportunity for people to try out a diet that they can control a little bit more with less salt?
Well, there's so much going on with COVID-19, and I think that nutrition is as important as ever. I mean, we've known in medicine for years that if you're generally malnourished, you're less able to resist infection, and so people need to keep up their nutrition as well as their sleep and exercise, and that's hard. But also, with schools closing and with people losing their jobs, especially hourly workers, people don't have enough money anymore to buy food. So food is a huge priority. I think for those that are able to do it, restaurants being closed, this is a great time to learn how to cook and get reacquainted with cooking. That's the simplest way to lower salt. About 80% of salt in the U.S. food supply is from packaged and processed foods. And so if you just cook at home, you're going to cut out a lot of salt. But we also need to remember that, there's many millions of Americans, kids and families, that are not going to have enough food during this crisis. And so there, salt is not the concern. It's just getting them enough food. So food is just so central to health. We can't forget it while we're focusing on this incredible crisis of coronavirus.
That is Dr. Dariush Mozafarian, who is a cardiologist and professor of medicine at Tufts University and the dean of the Tufts Friedman School of Nutrition, Science, and Policy. Dr. Mozafarian, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
And by the way, I mentioned a Chipotle burrito bowl. It can be 2,600 milligrams of sodium compared to the daily recommended 2,300. But it's not just Chipotle. A turkey bacon guacamole sandwich at Subway is 2,200 milligrams.